Gets Wild podcast. We are your hosts, Blake and Joy Ligon. Each week, our goal is to equip and inspire each other to follow the wild way of Jesus. So join us as we discover together how we can follow Jesus into the wild.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Joy, I have a question for you.
I cannot wait to hear it.
I'm sure you can't. So what is, when I say overlanding, what do you think that is? What comes to your mind?
Well, something that I just don't know a lot about.
do you know like the genre of what it would even be in?
Okay. Real talk. Okay. Pre-conversation with our guest, I would have zero clues as to what it was about. But if you were saying the word overlanding to me, I would figure it would be something to do with the outdoors. But
it's pretty broad.
Since
it has something to do with
like outside. With a cliff. Or like, so if this was like, is it a verb? Is it a noun?
Yes, it's a verb and a noun, I would say, even.
Well, that's confusing. So I don't know. Like pre-interview with these people that we're about to share with you about, I would say overlanding, I would put an ing on the end of it, like it's a verb.
Yes.
And it would have to do with a cliff.
What a cliff? What do you mean like a cliff? What are you talking about?
No, I mean like just overlanding, just, like
people are hanging,
jumping
over
off
cliffs,
of a cliff,
jumping
with
off cliff,
like one of those like airplane
that's
things.
Hang gliding.
Okay, well, you know what, you're right.
What in the world?
So there's that.
So
I feel,
overlanding.
But now that I know what I didn't know, I know that it's not hang gliding.
What is it? What is overlanding?
I'm going to let the listener find out when they listen to this podcast.
Gracious. Okay. So yes, we are going to unpack overlanding today. Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to do overlanding, not cliff jumping or hang gliding?
I will cheerlead anybody that wants to do it.
Okay. But you're not for it.
It's not that I'm not for it.
You're not there for it.
I probably won't participate.
Mm.
I mean, I just like a warm bed at night.
Do you think, do you think you would ever tent camp?
I think we've talked about this before.
Have we?
I don't remember, but I do know I like a clean place to take my contacts out in at night.
Okay, so would you, now that I've got you on the spot, would you ever camp out of the back of my truck? Because my truck is built out. I got a little camper shell, and it's got a platform underneath it where we have a mattress that like fits perfectly in the back of my truck. And me and the kids have used it multiple times. Love camping out of it. But would you ever do that?
I'm going to tell you what. I'm real proud of you in the truck and like the work you put into it. I really am. It really does fit perfectly in there. You worked really hard, and I am really proud of you. And I love that you take our kids.
I've even carpeted it.
I love the amenities
of home.
I love that you take our kids.
Yes.
And so I think in my mind, I just view it as you and a kid thing.
Okay. That's fine. I understand that. That's fine. We do enjoy it, and we have a blast doing it. And what I didn't realize is that what we're doing in the back of my truck and the setup and everything is very similar to overlanding. And overlanding is when you very simply get in a vehicle, travel overland to places that traditionally people don't go to, and you camp. You kind of live off the grid. And so it's a whole genre. It's a whole subculture. And our guests today, Nathan and Brittany Anderson, I wouldn't say both of them are into overlanding, but he is, and so he talks a lot about that. But today, our conversation goes way deeper than overlanding and some of the places that they've gone and the beautiful spots that they've camped at. It goes way deeper, and it's closer to home. Matter of fact, it is a conversation about their home. So on today's podcast, we're going to sit down with the Andersons to talk about their children, and specifically their son. Their son has autism, and they're going to share with us the journey of discovering that he did have autism. They're going to share with us the challenges of having a child with special needs and then a child who doesn't, because they have two children, but also they're going to share with us the joys of having a child with special needs and how God uniquely has revealed himself to them in the midst of that process. And they help us understand, if you don't have children with special needs, how to interact with those kids, how to interact with their parents. And so it's a fun conversation. It's a educational conversation, but it's also a very calming conversation.
Yeah, they're a very calming presence in this interview. And so we are looking forward to you experiencing that. It's going to be a great time. So join us today on The Way Is Wild.
Andersons, welcome to The Way Is Wild podcast. Super excited you guys are with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
We love you guys and are excited to dive into y'all's story.
Yeah, we one night, Brittany and I, we were over at y'all's house for dinner, and Brittany and I had a really good conversation about just family and your kids. And this just sparked something I know in me, just to learn more about your stories, your story and with your kids. And so I was like, Blake, let's have them on. We've got to do this. I think I actually didn't even talk to you about it first. I said, we're having them on the podcast.
I think for me, it was the spaghetti, though.
Yes.
It's spaghetti. Yeah. I mean, we walked into Brittany saying, this spaghetti is kind of famous.
It's different than any other spaghetti you've grown up with.
It really was. I think Olive Garden needs to hire you as like their chief chef or something.
Was it the spaghetti or was it the cinnamon rolls?
Okay.
Do you share the secret of the cinnamon rolls?
It's on the package. If you buy the cinnamon rolls, just look at the package.
This is an Anderson family secret that is on the package.
Yes. Well, then you never mind. That is so funny. It's actually on the package.
It's not a secret.
Yes. Well, I want y'all to start off just before we get into your story. Tell us about yourselves. What's going on in your world right now?
Yeah, so we're Nathan and Brittany Anderson. I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for 10 years. I've been in ER, outpatient surgery, ENT, all kinds of different things.
Yeah, and I'm Nathan. I work at Tech Friends in Jonesboro as a quality assurance engineer. And we've been going to Central Baptist in Paragould for about 3 or 4 years now. We've both grown up in Paragould, lived our whole lives, and we just love the community here. And we're excited to talk to you guys. We loved the topic that we're going to talk about. And we love the wild. We love the way. And we're just excited to dive in.
I love that. You also are a really good photographer.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Brag about yourself a little bit.
Please. A little self-promotion.
Unlike how you did your cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, I got into photography probably 4 or 5 years ago, just going on a lot of off-road trips. My friend was taking all the photos and doing video at the same time, so I just kind of volunteered to take pictures. And then I bought my own camera, went to Colorado, took a whole bunch of pictures there, and just fell in love with it. And so the Lord gifted me in that area just with a little bit of talent and the want to, the drive to do it. And so now I use that to serve at church and to help people take pictures, starting, you know, small businesses or small ministries and things like that, and take pictures of our family. And it's just been a passion of mine for the past 4 or 5 years. And I love it. It's a really cool, creative outlet for me.
Oh, yeah. I love it. You really are. You are capturing. We've talked about this before. You are capturing the moments of God, both in creation and within the church. And so I love it. It is a unique art medium, and you do a really great job.
Thank you.
Honestly,
appreciate
I was surprised
it.
When you were like, oh, I've been doing this for, and I was in my head, I was literally speaking for you, and I was like, he's from 10, 12 years. Like four, I've heard 4 or 5 years. Like, it's like, you're incredible at it.
Yeah, so thank you. You really are.
Appreciate
you're
it.
Sharing a gift with a lot of people.
Yeah, so Brittany and I, like I said, we were eating after dinner one time. We were sitting on the back porch.
After the cinnamon rolls.
After the cinnamon rolls. Eaten. I sounded real country. Eating.
Eating.
We were eating.
Cinnamon rolls.
that's on the package. So anyways, but you were telling me about Kellen, and I would just love for y'all to share more about him.
Sure. So Kellen, he's 8 now. As a child, even in his toddler years, we knew that not so obviously, but we kind of thought that, you know, maybe some milestones weren't being met when they should have been. And so just from there, we picked up on little things that he would do differently than kids, other kids that were his age. For instance, in a crowded room, he would cover his ears every time.
Whereas other kids, you know, might not like the loud noise, but they would deal with it fine. He would cover his ears and kind of get into a scared state. And we noticed that. We didn't really think a whole lot of it, but it was just something that we noticed.
Yeah.
So that was like toddler years. And then, you know, preschool came around and he could say plenty of words, but he would mostly just repeat what he what was either just said to him or repeat phrases he had heard on TV. The conversational aspect of his communication was just not really appropriate. So you could ask him questions and he wouldn't answer them like he should. So that's kind of what we noticed in his preschool years. And then...
Did anybody say anything to you guys at this point, or is it just more like you're on your own?
Nobody said anything to me so much, because also it's hard with little kids. You know, it's are they just a three-year-old boy, you know, just needing to grow and mature, or is it something else? And so nobody wants to jump in and make that statement to you. The first time anybody really said anything to me was we had been at Awana's somewhere, and somebody was like, you know, he doesn't adjust to new activity well, like stop in one activity and go into the next one. Like, he really has a hard time with that. And somebody was like, you know, my family is, they had a family member who is autistic, and that was kind of one of the first signs. So, I mean, that was kind of the first time that it was brought to my attention, which I was open to it. You know, if he needed something, then I'm willing to hear it. You know?
That's what I was going to ask. Was there immediate, like, internally, like, this, like, no way, not my kid? Like, almost like, absolutely? Or was it more like, okay, I'm willing to explore that, you know?
Well, my nature is, you know, I immediately anxious for my kid. You know, like, what does this mean? He's different, you know, and... in my life, I strive for everything to be so normal. You know, I want everything just to be just like, just so. And so for there to be a wrench thrown in the system, I'm like, what do we do now? You know? And a lot of, even pediatricians, they don't want to test kids at such a young age, just because there are things that they grow out of. But they also say that early intervention is the key to their success, you know? So as a three-year-old, we knew that we wanted to get him tested because he also had texture issues. Like, he didn't like long sleeves. He'd push them all the way up to his elbows. There were food textures that he just didn't like. So there was lots of sensory issues as well. So at that point we knew we wanted to get him tested.
Well, okay. So then what was your next step with that? You did y'all get him at age three tested?
Yes. So since we kind of saw all of those things, we didn't want to just assume that and then start treatment for it and say, well, you know, we just assume that that's it because somebody else said it. And so we went to a clinic in Little Rock. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but they actually do certain tests, sensory tests, communication tests, and they just kind of see what are some of the struggles that they have, what are some of the strengths that they have. And then autism is on a spectrum. It's called autism spectrum disorder. And Brittany can talk more about this, but it's not necessarily like a scale of 1 through 10 of like, this is where you land on the spectrum. It's more of like a circle of here are the different things that maybe this kid with autism struggles with, and not every kid who has autism is going to struggle with the same things because it's such a wide spectrum. There's so many different things that one kid may struggle with, and one kid, it may never be a struggle for them. And so Kellen landed on the spectrum of being high functioning is kind of what they say. But he was neurodivergent, which means a lot of those things, there were some things on the spectrum that he did struggle with. And getting that diagnosis helped us to go back to his preschool and start to look into certain therapies that can help him with some of those things. Not necessarily cure it or take it away, but help him overcome those struggles that he has so that he can live a typical life and go to school and stay in the classroom and, you know, have friends and just function like a kid without having to, you know, struggle through life. And he has really thrived since we've gotten that diagnosis and we've been able to have him in those therapies.
Kind of take us through that journey from his perspective. Like, did you guys tell him, like, when you guys went to Little Rock, like, hey, this is what we're doing? Like, when did you start having the conversation about himself? Because I know you guys have mentioned that before, mm-hmm. that we've talked yeah. to him about it. He understands that. But how did that journey unfold mm-hmm. of you guys talking to him more about what's going on, what you're discovering?
I really tried to kind of lean on his teachers who spent every day with him. And mm-hmm. because I did not want somebody at school to break the news to him that, like, hey, you're different. Mm-hmm. You know, I did not want that to come from a student.
Sure.
I did not want him to feel that, hey, something's wrong with me before I had the chance to tell him. Mm-hmm. And so talking to his teachers about that and the right time for that, because you also don't want to tell them too young and then stress them out early on.
Sure.
So it's something that we really prayed a lot about. And we actually had that conversation with him this past summer before school started, mm-hmm. just because he seemed mature. And I don't know that he actually noticed that anything was different with him. But Nathan kind of led that conversation and did a great job with him.
Yeah, so we just kind of took him aside and we told him about some things that that he did that after we told him, he was like, oh yeah, I do that. Like some of the things that he does with his hands or how he focuses in on one subject for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And he began to think about, oh yeah, I do those things. And we just kind of explained to him that that is because of your autism mm-hmm. disorder. And he was like, oh, okay. And, you know, didn't really think much more about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we kind of dove deeper into the kind of the why behind it. Like, this is why you do those things. Mm-hmm. And after we kind of explained that to him, we wanted to hammer home that you are not, there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
There's nothing bad about this. Mm-hmm. It's just different. Mm-hmm. And we kind of took it in the way of, you know, God makes everybody in a different way. Mm-hmm. If we were all the same, it would be a very boring world.
Right.
And
which is brilliant, by the way. Just yeah. pause and just mm-hmm. that y'all had the awareness to immediately connect that to yeah. God and how God yeah. created mm-hmm. people. I remember y'all sharing that with us before, and I was like, I mean, that was a heads up play on y'all's
yeah.
part. A
yeah.
powerful, powerful moment.
Well, Kellen, and we may talk about this more later, but he actually gave his life to Christ when he was seven.
Mm-hmm.
Last Christmas season. And so, you know, he's been a very observant kid, and when he gets something in his mind, he focuses in on it. Mm-hmm. And during that time period, he just got focused in on his Bible app on his iPad, the kids' Bible app, and he would read the stories, and we would talk about badness. Mm-hmm. And so he just one week he kind of became overwhelmed with this sense of, I'm just a bad kid, and I do bad things, and I don't know what to do about it. And that kind of led into the conversation of, we're all bad. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have badness in us. And but the good news is that, you know, Jesus came to die for your sins, take away that badness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing led to another. And I prayed with him, and he accepted Jesus as a Savior. Mm-hmm. And he was baptized on Christmas morning, which was amazing.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that.
And so I say all that to say that, you know, he gets so focused in on that one thing. And since he knew all of that beforehand, he knew that, you know, that God created him and, you know, God loves him. God saved him. Coming at it from that perspective of God made you, he made you unique, he made you different than everybody else, but he also made you with particular strengths
mm-hmm.
so that you can go and change the world. Because mm-hmm. one of the things when we went and got his diagnosis in Little Rock, one of the things that has always stuck with me was one of the doctors there that evaluated him said that people are going to love him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that always stuck with me and Brittany as well, just how, you know, he is a little different. He is, you know, neurodivergent, as we say. But he has so many strengths that there are so many people that just love being around
yeah.
him. He's mm-hmm. so kind. He's so loving. He's extremely smart. And, you know, it's true that people really do love him. Mm-hmm. And so we just explained that to him, that these things that we're talking about that you do are not bad. Mm-hmm. They're not wrong. They're just different than most kids, but they're a good different, and God's going to use those in crazy ways, and we just can't wait to see what he does with you know, what God does with him throughout his life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that I love that he gave his life to Christ before he knew
his
diagnosis.
Right.
Like, that is just powerful to me, I feel like, just hearing that story. And now he's in Christ and has a better understanding, too, of how Jesus does love him.
Yes.
And I loved all the strengths that you said. Blake was saying the other day we saw him and, like, the story that... What did he say to you?
Oh, I saw him and I said, "Hey, Kellen, what's going on?" And he went, "He just is this huge." I think one of the things we talk about people love him is because, like, he immediately, like, when he right when he looks at you, it's like,
there's
excitement. It's not like, you know, like me or something, like, okay, what is this person? You know, and he's like, he's so overwhelmed with joy of like, "Hey, what's going on?" And so I saw him and I said, "Kellen, what's up, dude?" And he said, "Hey, what's your name?" And I was like, "No, come on, man." And we got close and he was like, "Oh, Pastor Blake." You know, I just love him. He's people make him happy. And I'm sure at a certain point he's like, "Okay, I'm done with people." Yeah. But you can just tell he has a unique reaction to people.
Right.
And it's a reaction of joy. Mm-hmm. And whoever you are, whether you're an adult or another kid, that you are attracted to that. So I totally agree with what the doctor said, because you feel it. I mean, so cool.
I love that. Okay, so here y'all said neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you explain the difference for those listening?
I mean, somewhat. Like I've said, like we are no experts on autism. Right. We don't want to give off the feeling like we are, like we just know all the things.
Mm-hmm.
We know our kid and we know his struggles and what works with him. But from what I understand, a neurotypical kid is just a kid that processes the world in a very typical way, you know. Mm-hmm. They're able to process their feelings, their senses. If they don't like a situation, they know how to change it easily. Or they, you know, they can cope with things. I believe a neurodivergent kid like Kellen, their brains are just literally wired differently, to where, you know, if the sun's too bright, you know, like some kids really just hate the brightness, you know, some kids will literally have a meltdown over that, or different textures of clothing. If you, those people that, you know, if your socks, if your socks aren't on just right, like they'll take their shoe off, they'll fix their sock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also just, especially for Kellen, one thing that he struggles the most with is the social aspect, you know, being kind of quirky, awkward in conversation.
What does he enjoy doing?
He has a lot of interests, and he always has. Like I said, he always focuses in on one particular thing at a time, and just being honest as parents, sometimes that gets a little overwhelming, because you're like, we have talked about this and talked about this and talked about this. But, you know, we get to the point where eventually we're talking about it all the time, too, because he is.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to be kind of a student of him and learn about his interests, and so...
He's real imaginative and creative. He enjoys, you know, building with Legos and whatnot. One of my favorite things, though, is he can play piano by ear.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'm jealous. Honestly, my brother can do that, and I'm just like...
Yeah.
Wow.
He is very, very good at it.
It's amazing. I love watching it. It's such a gift.
It's something that neither of us really have any sort of, like, musical talent, and he just picked it up playing little keyboard.
Where did he learn to do this if y'all don't have...
So we bought him a little, like a
12 key, little tiny, piano.
Little tiny little Walmart electric keyboard.
Okay.
And he learned to play so many songs on this little tiny keyboard.
Wow.
And so we got him a little bit bigger, you know, keyboard, and he started getting into lessons and outgrew that super quick. And so now he has a full scale piano.
He does. Mm-hmm. I love that.
And he's going to lessons every week and he loves it. He plays all those songs by ear without looking at the music. And he is extremely talented in that area. And it's just one thing that he's gotten focused on.
Yes.
And when he does, he puts all of his energy into it, which is one of those things that, like I told him, he is so great at, you know, focusing in on one thing and doing it very well. That's one of his strengths.
What would you want for the parents listening? What do you want them to know about children who have autism? Or about Kellen, like what advice would you give them on conversations to have with their own children? How to treat kids with any disability, but even just yeah, the children that may not pick up on the social cues or whatever, what advice would you give them?
You know, I think it's a thing that a lot of parents really want for their kids, just to be met with kindness throughout their day, you know. And I want that for my daughter too. You know, I want them to be kind, and I want them to receive kindness also. Mm-hmm. And I know that starts at home. If your kid sees you being kind to others, they're going to take that as well. But you know, for Kellen, I feel like what we would want is, and it, for adults also, is that to be patient with a kid or an adult that is different than you, and get to know them. Because whenever you get to know the person, you don't label them like what you see them as. Like, he's not just like a kid with autism. Like, that is Kellen.
Right.
He's a person, and he's great.
Yes.
So that's what I would want for Kellen. It's just that somebody would take the time to get to know him, because he's, you know, he's entertaining. He's got lots of, you know, cool things about him.
Yeah.
But being his friend also comes with, you know, he's gonna whistle a lot. You know, that's kind of how he stims. He's gonna whistle. He's gonna hum. Like, there's gonna be things that are different about him.
I would say curiosity and patience can go a long way with someone who's just a little bit different, or maybe on the fringe of your friend circle or something. Just getting to know them, asking them questions, observing how they act, and then seeing how you can interact with them, and you will find, I believe, with Kellen that he is a lot of fun. You just have to get to know him and understand his differences, and you know, he's going to be like you said, he's going to be so full of joy and so full of kindness if you just really get to know him.
I like those words you said. So patience, curiosity, and you said something else. Patience and curiosity.
Yeah.
I was just making sure I said curiosity right. That's a hard word sometimes. I have trouble with my R's every now and then. So I was like, curiosity. But I think that's so so good to hear, just to even tell our own kids, with any children, not just children with, I mean, just kindness. That's the word. That's what you said. Yeah. Kindness, curiosity, and patience. With all people.
Oh, yeah. It's like a lesson for humanity.
It really is.
Because we're all different, and we all have unique ways that we process the world. Yeah. And so being kind, patient, and curious, I love that.
And he has taught us how to do that.
Yeah.
He has forced us to learn how to be patient and how to be curious and pick up on certain things, and just how to treat him with kindness when, you know, he's doing something that may be, you know, at first instinct you want to be annoyed by it, that he is covering his ears or that he's, you know, not comfortable in a situation, but you have to be patient with him and be kind to him and help him through that situation. And that's taught us both to, and everybody in our family, our parents and our friends, you know, they all know how to be patient with him, to be curious and to be kind with him.
Okay. So with those, that are listening that have a child at their house, in their home with autism, what does family discipleship look like in your home?
Great question.
Yeah. Well, the past year or so, I think we've really, gotten to dive into that as a family. I think the Lord kind of placed on my heart that I needed to step up and do that a little bit better. And our church has really kind of spearheaded that this past year and a half as well, just with family discipleship and our D group. The guys in the D group have been essential in just kind of praying with us and giving us resources to, you know, disciple our kids and teach them about Jesus and teach them that Jesus loves them. Jesus wants a relationship with them. And so some of the things that we've done recently is we have, our whole church has gone through the F260 reading plan, and we've been going through that with our kids, and, specifically with Kellen, he loves doing the activities and they're great because they have the little apply section. And yes, there are puzzles and there are, you know, mazes and writing things down, but the apply message there is really important, and he loves reading that section. He loves reading. And so he loves to read the scripture every time we go through that. And then We've also started recently memorizing scripture. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he really gets focused in on one thing. So he's really good at memorizing scripture. Yes. It takes him like a day, and he's already got like a, you know, 20, 30 word, you know, Bible verse memorized. Mm-hmm. And so he's really, really good at that. And so we've kind of found these things that he's got strengths in, mm-hmm. and we focus in on that because we know that that's what he likes to do.
Yeah, you guys, just as a personal testimony, just observing y'all's life and parenting, y'all are knocking out of the park with your kids. Mm-hmm. Nathan sent me a couple of different resources that we can also implement, and that has been super helpful for me. We've got the little Dwell Differently tattoos. Mm-hmm. We're yep. rocking those. And
yep. We all four got them.
Yeah. That's right. I heard Kellen even yesterday. I asked yep. him. I was like, hey, Psalm 48:14. And he was like, yeah. For this God is right. And he just, mm-hmm. boom. He yep. knocked it out of the park and then ran off. Yep. I was like, dude, good job, man. So they did yeah. an awesome job.
But I love that y'all know his strengths. And it all goes back to, from the very beginning, you talked about his strengths. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can we disciple him by using his strengths? Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's still the same thing the Lord has called us to do. Read his word mm-hmm. and memorize scripture. Yeah. I know y'all do Unfold the Family yes. too. Yes. And those are fun activities. So I love that the way the Lord gifted him is the same way and helps him to love the Lord with all his heart, soul, yes. mind, and strength. The Lord's like... He may be a little unique, mm-hmm. but you know what? He's doing what I'm calling him to do, and I've yeah. gifted him to do what I've called him to do. Yeah. And so I think y'all are phenomenal at family discipleship, and I love yeah. that you're focusing on his strengths. And
thank you. We do our best. You know, he has always been a kid that loves the Lord and loves to read scripture, loves to memorize scripture. He loves the Bible app that we go through, the Kids Bible app, loves going through those stories. And he prays very mm-hmm. Big, bold prayers. Every time we pray, we usually kind of cycle through. We'll either all four pray and take turns, or like one night somebody will pray, and the next night somebody else will, and it's his turn. Mm-hmm. He has taught me a lot about prayer. He has taught me how to, you know, worship God through prayer. Tell God about how good he is and thank him for his faithfulness, and just ask him for help. For, you know, he always prays for his sister. Like, how many 8-year-olds are going to pray for their little sister?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he always prays for family members, and he always says, you know, thank you for saving us, thank you for loving us. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy because, you know, like at 8 years old, I would have never prayed prayers like that. And mm-hmm.
There was one night he said, God, because we were reading a letter from Paul, and mm-hmm. he was like, God, make me like Paul. And I was in my mind, I'm like, do you know what you're asking for? Yeah. <That's true. laughs> You know, yeah, but it's just like, just big, bold prayers like mm-hmm. that.
I love that. Yeah. Listening, educating, and giving wisdom on family discipleship mm-hmm. and just the world of autism. Mm-hmm. It's been such a peaceful conversation. Yes. Can I say, like...
Yeah. Well, you can't hang out with the Andersons and not, like, leave them. Like, I feel like I just had a good cup of coffee with close friends.
I know, but it's so been fun. So peaceful, but yes. it's also... I've smiled a lot throughout yes. this. A peaceful smile, just because yes. Kellen is such a joy.
He is. He really is. And he is. I agree with you guys. He's going to do some phenomenal things. God yeah, truly yeah. is going to do some awesome things with both of your kids. But he's going to use... his uniqueness and his giftedness and his passion in a really awesome way. And yeah. I'm excited just to watch it unfold.
Absolutely. Okay. We do have a question that we ask everybody at the end. Oh, do you want to ask?
Yes.
Go for it.
I can. Cause I'm interested. I know what you enjoy and both of y'all enjoy it, but I'm interested to see what you say. But what is your favorite place in the wild?
I'll let Brittany go first.
Let me just tell you. Okay. He's probably got 10 places he's about to go. I like to camp. Don't give me that. So it is. It's enjoyable.
She liked yes. that one time that we went to camp.
I like the, wait, like in a tent?
I will. I have slept in a tent. The best cooking, the best food I eat is from Nathan's Iron Skillet when we cook. There are pros. But I want air conditioning, and I want indoor facilities.
Where yes, I get it.
Take me to the middle of the woods.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So no, that's.
I'm the complete opposite. I mm-hmm. don't need air conditioning. Don't need facilities. I can go out in the middle of the woods.
Yes, what you've done. And so I feel like you need to, so you are into overlanding, camping, kind of explain what that is, that one of your like side passions, because it's how you kind of got into photography, I guess, was taking these trips. And so explain to people who maybe not know, what is overlanding, camping, all those things, and then we'll dive into your favorite place in the wild, which we're going to get back to yours too.
Yeah, because we need a favorite place in the wild.
Yes.
Okay.
Like a location.
Okay. So lay out what
and it doesn't have to involve a tent.
Like right now, overlanding is exploding. Yes, everybody is wanting to get outside. They're wanting to explore creation. And so what is overlanding, camping? How did you get into it? Kind of just give us the 2-minute rundown of it all.
Yeah, so a 2-minute rundown on overlanding. Overlanding's been around for a long, long time, long before it exploded in like 2020. Mm-hmm. I think right after 2020, and everybody started getting back outside again, and it just exploded. All these, you know, companies started popping up, rooftop tents, fridges, and all that. Essentially what overlanding is, you get in your vehicle, you drive out into the middle of nowhere, you camp and you eat good food, you wake up the next day and you do it all over again. That's incredible. Essentially all it is,
on top of your car.
Well, sometimes, yes. Is
that what that means?
It doesn't have to.
Not necessarily, but yes, in my case, yeah, I do have a rooftop tent that sits on my roof.
What did you call it? What is it?
The cheese wedge.
The cheese wedge.
there's a piece of it that's yellow. It's the cheese wedge.
It's a wedge and it's yellow, yes. I have a GFC Superlight, and anyway, on my Jeep. And I got into it about 5 years ago. I've got some friends over in the Ozark National Forest. There's hundreds and hundreds of miles of trails that you can drive, whether it's just gravel roads or like you're getting after it on some off-road trails where you're climbing rocks and you need all the off-road gear that you've got. And then, you know, there's more simple forms of it where you can literally take like a Honda Civic and camp out of the trunk of your car and, you know, sleep on the ground or sleep in a hammock. I sleep in a hammock now a lot. Or you can take a trailer with you. You know, there's all kinds of different forms of it, but that's kind of what I've been into for the past 5 years.
You sleep in a hammock. Mm-hmm. How old are you?
29.
Oh, you still have a 2 in the 10 spot. Okay, because like if I slept in a hammock, my body would be like all curled up like when I woke up.
Oh yeah, I can. I mean, and
my back.
That's what I said.
I can give testimony to this. I mean, last year we went on a big men's retreat, and Nathan went with us the night before to set up everything. And that night before was cold and it was rainy.
Yeah.
And so Nathan just like nonchalantly was like, "Yeah, I think I'm gonna sleep outside tonight." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, whatever." I mean, it was 40s. I mean, it was cold.
Oh, you did.
And so I literally went out to my truck later on to get something, and all of a sudden I heard something kind of off to the side in the woods, and I was like, "Here it is, there's Sasquatch right here," you know. And I heard him say, "Hey, man." Like, bro, you aren't kidding. You really are out here. And it was raining, and it was 40
You slept
degrees.
In the rain?
Yeah.
And he did it.
There's a three tarp. Nights, four
nights. Yeah, there's a tarp over him. So he like created this whole little mini camp.
And I'm really proud of you.
He did it. It was quite impressive. I love the outdoors, but I don't think I'm as tough as Nathan is, honestly. So
where is your favorite place to do that?
Over in the Ozarks, there's a trail near the Mulberry River that is a pretty rough trail. I mean, it takes some pretty, you got to know how to drive your vehicle off-road. You go through some rivers. You're literally driving through these rivers. The water comes up almost over your tires. You're going up these roads, climbing ledges, going through mud holes and everything. And you get to this spot where you're camping right beside like a 20-foot waterfall.
Oh, wow.
And you hear this waterfall falling all night long. And it's at the end of a creek, and you can see the moon and the stars coming down. I'm probably over-dramatizing it, but
it sounds great.
Sounds awesome.
It is really, really cool. And so that's probably one of my favorite spots in the Ozarks to camp.
I love that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I would never do that, but I'm really proud of you.
Look at all the pictures.
I'm glad for you. Yeah.
Listen, because it's almost just like when you camp and lay on that mattress and you wake up and like your back hurts so badly. It's the same way when you ride in a vehicle that's going up all of these things. I am like sore.
Yeah.
The next day it will like throw you all around. In the vehicle.
Where's the Tylenol?
Overlanding is like being in your vehicle and driving out in the woods for hours and hours and exploring all these places, and then you get to somewhere and you're camping outside. Brittany, does not like to be in a vehicle for a long time, and she does not like being outside very long. And so overlanding is just not really the thing for her.
So what is your favorite place then in the wild?
Let's hear what your favorite place is.
So listen, you're going to be proud of me. I would say, is it Crystal Mountain that's got the pretty outlook, the view?
There's a lot of them.
Crystal Mountain? Is that more than one place?
Crystal Mountain is a beautiful spot in the Ouachitas, yeah.
Yes. That's been my favorite place.
We've been there once or twice, yeah. Okay.
Good job.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I'm glad you remembered that.
I do want to hear, because you were talking to us a little bit earlier about a previous camping trip that you took Kellen on and you, and it was just y'all three.
Oh, boy.
And just take us back through that. Sure. Nathan tells you, hey, listen, it'll be great. The sleeping bag's going to be awesome. This is going to be a wonderful experience. And so
So Lindley was a baby, so she stayed home with my mom, maybe. And I'm trying to get ready for the trip and pack our bags. And I'm like, what do I need to sleep in? Because it's like January 2nd or so. Yeah. Like, it's very cold. I'm like, what do I need to pack? And he was like, man, you could sleep in some shorts and a t-shirt. That sleeping bag is so warm. You'll get hot.
And I had a heater. Like, I had it all planned out.
He said, you will get hot in that tent, in that sleeping bag. And I was like, all right. And I took it for real. So I packed me and Kellen some like very thin pajamas, shorts. And so that night, and it is freezing outside, and me and Kellen are already like bundled up in our sleeping bags, and Nathan gets in there, and this dude's wearing a toboggan and some fuzzy pants and like three different layers of clothes. And I was like, You said we could sleep in shorts and a t-shirt. And he was like, I didn't think you took it, like, literally. So we were freezing. I woke up and the, like, condensation had made my hair wet, and it was, like, frozen the next morning.
Yes.
So after that, I was like, I'm not camping with you anymore. This isn't a good time.
So half of your hair is frozen.
It was frozen. Yes.
You were
like, condensation.
She like Titanic on Rose and Jack.
Did he give up his toboggan? No, he wore it all night.
Nathan, if you want
to. You've had two pairs of clubs on this whole time. Yeah. It's January. Oh, man.
That was my fault, probably why she doesn't go back very often anymore. But
it was a.
But Kellen still goes, right?
I mean,
yes.
Kellen loves it. He asks me to go camping all the time.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
And we've got a new setup where I'm going to try tandem hammock camping with him under one tarp on the same tree. And
it's
so we'll see how that goes. Two hammocks hanging side by side.
Oh, I love that.
I think
that.
He'll like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
For y'all. No, I'll be with Brittany. Yeah.
You should have seen the video of me and Brittany trying to figure out how this two hammock system works.
It was a mess. I don't know how we didn't end up on the ground. It was such a mess.
That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for sharing with us your wisdom, your story. We are hopeful that it will impact a lot of people. So thank you again for joining us.
Yes, thank you all.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Way is Wild podcast. We hope today's episode inspired and equipped you to follow the wild way of Jesus. If you love the Way is Wild podcast, please take a quick moment to subscribe and leave a happy review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. And please share this with a friend. If you want more of The Way is Wild, you can visit our website at thewayiswild.com and also sign up for our monthly Inspire letter. Until next time, friends, let's take what we've learned together and follow Jesus into the wild.